Hello, this is Down the Back of the Seats. I'm Ellen, Cinema Manager at Campbelltown Picture House.
And I'm Alistair, a film and theatre maker based on the Isle of Mull.
And Alistair, what is this podcast about?
This podcast explores what happens when public spaces and the public meet. What's left behind? What's been found that's unexpected? What stories are there to tell? Tales from behind the scenes at the cinema, theatre, concert hall, wherever people meet, linger and leave things or bits.
And Jed's licking his bits in the background, so that might get picked up.
Leave your bits, doggy.
Yeah. Yes. He refuses to stop, so sorry if that's getting picked up. I've got a question for you, Alistair.
Okay.
How was your radio interview? Please reenact it for us now, but in English.
Film, good. Film, nice, good. Film, like me. Film, like Mike. Oh. So, yes. I was on Radio Na Gael yesterday, a programme called Fesker, meaning afternoon or kind of PM, basically. And I was talking about the Screen Machine, because the Screen Machine is the rural cinema, the touring rural cinema that we've talked about several times in the podcast already. And it means so much to so many of us. It is our cinema. And it travels from... I think from Arran all the way to Kinlochbervie or something. It covers a huge amount of distance. It's a really, really significant thing. And it's under threat at the moment. The second one isn't fit for travelling at the moment. And it was the second model that was made of it, SM2 as it's known. So they've had to hire over a screen machine from France to come and talk to take cinema to local places. And unfortunately what's happened is, because it's a different machine that's not built for these roads, because it's a cinema on the back of an articulated lorry, it's literally that, it can't get to a lot of the places that it would normally get to. So a new screen machine needs to be commissioned, the Screen Machine 3. Hello Ripley, that's my dog coming in as well. Hi darling. This is the question of how can this screen machine be commissioned, because it costs megabucks. It's going to be over £1 million to commission the cinema. Now, one thing that people want us to do that are part of Regional Screen Scotland, who are the organisation behind it, is to write to our MSPs and MPs and say, this cinema matters to us because please, please, please support the development of this. And if the government can free up some money to, and it won't be the whole amount, it'll be a portion of the amount, if the government can free up some money that would then go to Creative Scotland to then go to Regional Screen Scotland, that would mean they could get the process of the Screen Machine 3 being started to be built. And Screen Machine 3 is going to be the same wonderful cinema on the back of an articulated lorry, but it's going to be a lot more modern. It's going to be ecotastic. It's going to be built within a very eco-friendly way, and it's going to run on a battery rather than from generator power. And there's going to be all sorts of kind of modern solutions into its operation. And it's also going to be this incredible cinema as well. Have you been into the Screen Machine at all, Alan?
No, I haven't. I've not seen it, because by the time I got to Campbelltown, then the Screen Machine was obviously no longer required there, because the cinema was open.
It's magical.
I'll see the new model when it gets commissioned. But it's completely, yeah. It's an essential resource. I mean, we're both very big on the power of cinema.
Totally.
But if you live in the middle of nowhere, the excitement of having the cinema rumble into town.
It's great. It's, you know, and so many times, you know, there are lots of film societies all over the place. We're very lucky here in Mull. We have the lovely Mull Film Club, who show a lot of, well, not a lot of films, but they show films. But they don't have time, because they're based on volunteers. They don't have time to show too many films, and the marketing that goes into all that takes a long time. And so you're left with quite a limited amount of choice for what they'll screen. For instance, they're screening a film tonight over in Tobermory in the Arras Hall called Polite Society, an Indian film that I really keen to see.
That film so much. I really, really loved it.
I really wanted to go and take my son to it as well, because I thought he would love it. But a friend has appeared out of nowhere, and we're going to have some music instead, which is really nice. But yes, so it is an incoming venue, basically. And it brings its own... the modern films with it. It brings its own self with it, you know, it's an actual physical structure of a cinema, but it's literally just a cinema hall. There's no foyer, there's no toilets, there's no where to buy popcorn, so it's quite limited in what it can do in terms of revenue gathering from itself. And also, because it travels, those are days when it's not earning money. So it's a very funding intensive thing, but it's valued so much by so many of us. And it's also free of the local politics of, you know, a village hall or whatever, you know, because that the amount of stuff that, that, you know, we use our village halls a lot and it's really great. But there's all sorts of tangles in politics as well, whereas this is something totally external that comes in and says, look, here's some films for you. And if you want to show a film or if you wanted to do something with them, they're more than happy to adapt to what you want to do as well. So they're really a responsive cinema organisation, much like Hamilton Picture House responds to its community. The Screen Machine responds to its community and shows films by members of the community, such as myself, which is really, you know, really appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely. And we should say their programming model is fantastic as well. This is that they're getting the most recent films, so their program is up-to-date films. I think that if they're staying for a couple of days, then they'll do four or five different films rather than film clubs, which tend to show films that have been out for 6 months or a year or 2 years even. Screen Machine is bringing you the very latest stuff.
Literally beamed in by satellite as well. And then they can do live broadcast things. Yes. They can do kind of National Theatre Live and all this sort of stuff, which is amazing. And eventually, Screen Machine 2, which is the one that's kind of off the road at the moment, it will be able to be sold. It's possible, you know, if things work out all right. And to think, well, actually, a community could possibly buy that Screen Machine themselves. Now, that would be really interesting. I was talking about it with my mate Jack in Screen Argyle, which is our company. It's like, imagine reversing that into a barn, opening it up, and then that's your cinema in a barn. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Mm. You know, it'd be so exciting to, oh yeah, we're going there tonight. And it'd be so different.
I don't know if you know the answer to this, but what's wrong with Screen Machine 2? Why is it off the road? Is it ever to come back on the road, or is it dead?
It's for limited runs to come back on the road. It's currently in a truck park up in Skye, but the Cinemobile from France is what is doing the rounds for the Screen Machine at the moment.
And that's what you were on the radio yesterday to talk about. Were you champion?
Aye.
Were you the four?
I was definitely the four. They had a lovely older man on from Fort William, where there's a very fine cinema as well, with a race car for children to sit down in the front, which is kind of cool. But he was the host asked the chap, when did you last go to the cinema yourself? Oh, I don't know. Schindler's List. It's like, oh, for God's sake.
Because it was classic BBC balance, wasn't it? You've got Alistair Satchell, who likes cinema, and then you've got an old bloke from the street who doesn't like cinema.
Doesn't even know the word. Yeah. He was lovely. He was really nice.
But, it just feels like such a sort of odd balance thing, is that surely there's no balance that's required here. I suppose you could have bought somebody in that hates the Screen Machine, but presumably... You either are indifferent or you love it.
Exactly. So the host at one point asked, what was the first film you saw in the cinema, to the guy? And he said, The Cruel Sea. It's like, whoa, going back. That's pretty awesome. Wow. And then I felt I had to include, because he asked me another question, but I felt I had to go, well, my first film was E.T. And then I asked him, what was your first film? And his first film was Star Wars. So a nice mix of things. So
see now, I'm going to call you out on this, because I think the sort of the people that say that their first film that they saw in the cinema was Star Wars, or that their first film that they saw in cinema was E.T., I think that's some sort of selective remembering. I think the first film that you saw in the cinema was...
The Rescuers.
It's something that we will never even think of now. It's fallen down the wayside.
Slipstream.
It's slipstream.
No, I'm pretty sure it was E.T. for me.
Was it really?
Because I remember seeing Ghostbusters as well very early on. But I'm pretty sure it was E.T. I might have said Ghostbusters in a previous episode of this, actually, but I'm pretty sure it was E.T. when I think about it more deeply. Because I remember going, and for me... So cinema, as I've said many times in this, is about sensation and the feeling of things and that pre-rational engagement with the moving image and sound. And there is nothing like that shot in E.T. where you see the little shed thing out the back of the garden, their statuary or whatever it is, with a lattice, fine lattice work, and then the little Reese's pieces coming out of there. And the light of that, and the mist around it, and then his little finger coming out and choosing the Reese's pieces one by one. For me, that's very much a sensational memory that I can, it almost seems real. It's that deeply buried in my subconscious.
Yeah, that's been planted there years later. You've seen that film again and you've thought, oh, I'll have that as my first memory of cinema.
Well, it's not a film I enjoyed since, actually. I must have I watched it. I don't think I had it in video. I may have recorded it off a TV in a bank holiday or something, but I watched it with Col. I got a copy, shall we say, when I was away in Shanghai one time. And it was... watched it with Col when he was wee, and he was quite taken with it. But it's not my Mac and Me was the other one that came out, you know, a number of years later. It was set filmed in exactly the same housing estate, it felt like, and it was exactly the same story. It was a bonkers Canon films. Anyway,
I think we've mentioned before, I saw Big. That was the first film that I saw at the cinema. But again, I think I'm creating that memory. I suspect the first film that I ever saw was something that won't have heard of. Because
I just loved that movie with them. So Col had a Zoltan t-shirt for many years, which is which our friend Kim gave to him, which I loved. But the line that I always remember that it's like, as long as I can sleep on top. And he's just up on top of the bunk bed. There's a real naivety to that film. I thought it was great.
Quite,
I haven't seen it in many years.
It's quite tricky
though
when you watch it again.
Because she's essentially a paedophile.
Yeah. I mean, it's not really her fault, but it's not really addressed at the end. She doesn't, because he turns back into a child and she sort of smiles and waves and sees him back to his house rather than going, what? Oh my God. Oh my God. And then having a sort of existential crisis about what she's
spending
done.
Years in therapy.
Years in therapy of trying to come to terms with what sort of person that makes her. But maybe, you know, maybe that happens in Big 2. That's the fallout. That's,
yeah. Big Air.
Big Air. Yeah. Great film.
It's like Alien, Aliens and Aliens is...
Aliener. Yeah. More Alien.
Yeah, more Alien. Yeah.
I got an email this week, not to the cinema email account. And it brings up, this is not going to be a conclusion of the conversation, but it brings up something that I want to talk to next week's guest, Alex, about. Because the question was, so it's from a customer of the cinema and a person that listens to the podcast. And he was asking about a film called, would I consider playing a film called O Jeremy Corbyn, The Big Lie? Have you come across this?
No. No, I haven't.
It's a film about Jeremy Corbyn, basically, and as the title suggests, and it sets up a conspiracy theory, which is that he was too power. Like, I'm probably going to misrepresent it because I've only seen the trailer, but that he was ousted, basically, and everything that was all the anti-Semitism was fabricated because they didn't want
horrible.
Him. He was too, you know. So it's about that, but it is controversial. It's a very controversial film, although not. Having not garnered a huge amount of publicity, so it's not like it's not really in the zeitgeist. But he was asking whether, firstly, whether I would consider playing it, and then he also put in the caveat of probably not because it wouldn't make any money. Basically, you know, he was being very pragmatic about it. But then asked whether I would play it after the conversation that we had about controversial films and where the line is and where role is. And asked whether I would play it on that. And the rather unsatisfactory answer to this is, I don't know. Thankfully, I don't have to make that decision because the film would not make me enough money to, you know, have that kind of dilemma. But yeah, it's just another interesting one. And I'm going through this with something else as well. There's a film called How to Blow Up a Pipeline, which looks great. It looks really good. And I'm currently organising a short climate action film festival, just a sort of series of films about climate action with the Kintyre Climate Action Group. And one of the films that we were talking about is How to Blow Up a Pipeline, which is it looks so good and apparently it's brilliant. But again, it's quite controversial because some people have said that it glorifies terrorism, basically, because the film is about people. It's a drama film. It's not a documentary, but a film is about people making a bomb and blowing up a pipeline, and so I'm just sort of wrestling with those two things.
Spartacus is about a revolution. Terrorists. It's quite good, mind you. That Chris Morris movie, Three Lions.
Oh,
is also,
what a great film. Four Lions.
Four Lions, that's right, yeah. Three Lions is that abysmal song. Oh, God, yeah. Much prefer Vindaloo. it's an interesting film I saw when I was away in Estonia. This film was about two children exploring different aspects of climate change. And it was really very good because it explores things on both sides of the coin. And one of the first ones, one of the topics it explored was mass marketing and mass farming of poultry and chickens. And the documentary maker is very balanced. He goes to a farm, intensive chicken farm, and actually it's intensive rabbit farm, I think it is, in rural France. And the kids, when they hear, you know, what they do there, they're just disgusted about how horrible it is and how awful it is. But then when the farmer explains a little bit more in that he's actually totally and utterly trapped into the being this part of the production chain, the scale at which they're being kind of harvested and eaten, so many people make so much more profit out of them than he does. He's at the very, very bottom end of it. Now, if he stopped, everything would fall away. But the way things are arranged, he's got so many debts and loans against pieces of equipment, and he just can't make it work. You know, he's trapped. He's totally trapped. And so this the forces of economic pressure are part of the story so strongly as well. So it's a very, very interesting film to watch. I'll try and find the name of it.
I was going to say, what is this film called? Because this would be perfect for my climate action film festival.
Yeah, look, 2 seconds, right. I'll just go offline. Sorry, I can just go on.
Okay.
The film is called Animal, and it's by Cyril Dion. Yeah, fascinating film. I'll try and find a link to that properly for you. Because I think
for
your film festival, that would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be perfect. And people who live in Campbelltown will be able to see whether this film festival includes Animal or How to Blow Up a Pipeline. And then you'll know what decision I made. I will include Animal if it's available. And I will think further about whether I'm playing How to Blow Up a Pipeline. Oh, I'm glad we've had this conversation. That's...
Should we just talk about the man who fucked a baguette again?
No. I never want to hear that story. People, now that we're doing this, people come up to me and say things at me. And if we've recorded them a few weeks before, I have no idea what they're talking about. Somebody said something about, oh, I'm not going to get a baguette anytime soon. And I was like, okay. And I couldn't remember what we talked about. I'd blocked it out.
Yes. There was a message chain the other day that came through from one of our listeners. When that story about the anal interruption experience, there was a barrier of both underpant and costume as well. So thank you.
Yes, right. So this is something that I was worried and wondering about as well. Because the way that you were talking about it, the digit went up into.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yes, it did.
Are you wearing harem pants? Or something.
They were.
You can't.
It was silk. It was very light theatrical trousing and trousing. That's trouser clothing. very light theatrical trousers and a pair of, I think, Marks and Spencer's underpants, most likely. And yes, for some reason, I remember the intrusion. I remember the gripping of the material. So yeah.
Wow. Yeah. See, I'm horrified. We're both horrified because the other person who was worrying about this sort of thing is worried that you've been assaulted.
Violated.
Which yes. you really have. And then I felt bad about laughing about it. But I was more worried about the practicalities and impressed with the vigour and the aim as well.
It was extraordinary.
Yeah.
It was quite remarkable. She should be a proctologist in future.
I know.
So.
I quite like to hear. I'd like to hear from her.
Yeah. Becky, if you're listening at all, please do.
Yeah.
Right in.
Let us know. Hey, right. Shall we shut the hell up?
Waffle. Hot waffle.
Yes.
Right. Yes, so before we go, please, if you are in Argyll, please, or in the Highlands and Islands, please write to your MP and MSP to say how much the Screen Machine means to you. by the time this comes out, I should have written a letter from Screen Argyle that you can copy and paste, which will be on Screen Argyle's social media. If you want to send that to your MSP, you can adapt it yourself as well, or put your name on it and just leave it as it is. It's going to say how important cinema is to us and how Screen Machine 3 will mean the world to these, to our communities.
Yeah, and we should say, even if you're not in one of the places that is served by the Screen Machine, then the more noise people make about this, the better.
Totally.
Totally. Because that's how things get done, and it's such a valuable resource. It's essential.
It is vital.
And if you have written to your MSP and MP, write to us as well and tell us things that you'd like
your tales,
your tales of venues, or any questions that you have, topics that you'd like us to consider, films that you'd like me to wrestle with, whether I would screen them or not.
Is interesting.
It is interesting.
Would you show The Last Temptation of Christ? I mean, I love that film.
There now follows a section where Ellen embarrassingly confuses Passion of Christ with The Last Temptation of Christ. I think I'm terrible at this question. I think I'm the worst person to answer this question because it's always... because I don't know where the line is. But we will speak to Alex. So next week we've got Alex Shakir Evans from Picture House Cinemas. And he's very measured and very smart, so he'll hopefully give us the answer to this. But yeah, Last Temptation of Christ. But that was a sort of mainstream release, wasn't it?
Hmm.
I went to see that at the Canterbury Odeon.
Whoa!
So you don't get more mainstream than the Canterbury Odeon.
Oh, that's brilliant! What a lovely place to see it as well.
Well, it's pretty grotty. Can I say that? Yeah, it was a This was 20 years ago. It was a grotty, or 15 years ago, whenever it was. It was such a grotty cinema, but I spent so long in that cinema. I moved to Canterbury and I didn't have any friends and I was scared. So I went to the cinema every day for about 2 weeks. So anyway, Last Temptation of Christ, yes. Sound of Freedom, no. How to Blow Up a Pipeline, possibly.
Last Temptation isn't The Passion of Christ, though.
Oh, I'm getting the wrong film then. Oh, I'm completely in the wrong place. Which is
so The Last Temptation is Scorsese's film. Passion of Christ is the Mel Gibson's one.
Oh, right. Do we need to have this entire conversation again, or shall I just leave the bit in where I get confused with two Christ-based films? Let's leave it in.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, no, The Passion of Christ is the amazing Martin Scorsese movie that was really controversial because it... the book that's based on by Nikos Kazantzakis has quite a different ending to the Bible. And it follows very faithfully all the way through. And then it's like, oh, that's a bit different. And I love it. I think it's a man that was who wrote it. When he was writing it, he was coming to terms with his own faith, having gone across many, many different religions. And I say this as someone without faith, but I find the journey that people go on around these things very, very beautiful. And The Last Temptation is this beautiful film where Willem Dafoe plays Jesus Christ, and Judas of Nazareth is played by Harvey Keitel, and David Bowie plays Pontius Pilate.
Of course it's that film.
Oh, music by Peter Gabriel, which is one of the best Peter Gabriel albums ever. And when it came out, it was very controversial, but I love it. And it's like 30 years ago that came out.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to say yes for that one then. Right. My arbitrary line is
if it's good.
If it's good. Yeah, if it's good, if it's a Scorsese.
That's enough. Right.
That's enough. That's
enough
away,
of
right.
that. Right. I'm going away. Bye-bye.
Wait. Alistair, tell the people the email address.
The email address you can reach us on is downthebackoftheseats@gmail.com. That's all one word, downthebackoftheseats.
Or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram at Down the Back of the Seats. Please, if you've got anything that you want to write in about, please, please, please write in. We take stories, we'll take questions, we'll take would Ellen screen this slightly controversial film so that we can discover where Ellen's line is. Goodbye.
Many thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.